So you're right. We have no flying mission. So for a long time, there was an identity crisis for the 194th. Even back in 2011, 12-ish, we actually almost lost the wing.
I'm Joe Seemandel, and welcome to Raven Conversations. And today I'm joined by the leadership team of the 194th Wing, Colonel Brian Tubb, for those that know, Tubb Bergren, and Chief John Austin are here to talk about the 194th Wing, the different units, the missions of the wing, and the opportunities that the 194th has for those. Thanks, gentlemen, for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, our pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So intro background, sir, I'll start with you.
Okay. Where to begin? I was a small child. I was born into a military family. So my dad did 35 years in the Air Force, and that's all I knew growing up. Moved every couple years. Me and my two brothers lived all over the Southeast, a lot of time in Florida, which is probably why I ended up going to the Harvard of the South. You may have heard of it, University of Central Florida, renowned for its academic environment. And I did ROTC there. And I got commissioned into the Air Force and went active duty. And I did about 4 years of active duty, and I kept finding myself over in the Middle East. And like most of us, I just think about all of us have. And I was staring at the rotation in the face going, I'm going to be over here in Afghanistan or Iraq every year for a year for this foreseeable future. So there's got to be a better way to wear this uniform. And so I looked online. Got on my dial-up AOL at that time back in 2004 and found a job at the Western Air Defense Sector. And so I went there and I worked at the Western Air Defense Sector for about 17 years. And then I was lucky enough to get pulled over to headquarters to be the director of staff by General Welsh. And now I'm the commander of the 194th. And I am the luckiest man in the world to be able to have this job. Mm-hmm. My wife, Hillary. My daughter, Madeline, we live over in Gig Harbor. Maddie right now is in New York City going to school for art. And yeah, we're just across the bridge, loving Gig Harbor. And yeah, we'll probably be buried here at some point. It's pretty morose.
So you spent 17 years at WADS. Was that kind of a difficult move, leaving WADS and heading out?
It was. I mean, it's such a great organization over there. And it was what I had become really accustomed to, and I loved it. I knew everybody who was there. We were a great team. But, you know, General Welsh saw that I probably needed to get a little more experience and a little more in-depth understanding of the rest of the Washington Air National Guard. So going over to headquarters was a great move for me. Professionally, but yeah, it was tough leaving my family over there.
Yeah. Chief, how about you?
Yes, sir. So I was not a military brat. However, my dad served 6 years in the Army, active duty. My grandfather's a retired Army major as well for 30 plus years. And my dad had this I guess not basic training. What was the Army version of BMT called? The Army basic training.
Boot camp.
on his nightstand. For some reason, as a kid, I stared at that photo on a regular basis and I always found myself drawn to his military service in that photo. Then I grew up in about 18, 20 years old, young punk kid, not really going anywhere in life, and needed a good kick in the ass. I needed a good kick in the butt. A buddy of mine and I went to the recruiting office. We're going to join the Marine Corps. Walked in the door, and the first guy that came to the door was not the Marine Corps, it was the Air Force recruiter. And talked me into joining the Air Force. So at that point in time, 1996, I joined the Air Force, active duty. Spent 9 years in active duty, much like you, sir. High ops tempo, found myself deployed to the desert multiple times. Wife was on me about a career change. We were in Missouri at the time, deployed to Iraq, and decided that I had had enough of being away from her. And my young son was 2 months old at the time we were gone. So I left the desert in Iraq, came home, palace fronted, and was in my first drill weekend within 5 days of leaving Iraq. And as the boss told in my ceremony, I got fired from my first job in the Guard for being too active duty and too sharp. That's kind of all that I had known. But the National Guard since then retrained to the training career field, and things kind of took off for me from there. Eventually, I realized that I missed active duty and wanted to get back into that active status. So I fought tooth and nail to do temp technician, temp AGR jobs. So I finally landed a full-time AGR job here in Washington. So that was in 2008, and the rest has been history. The Guard has been a great opportunity for me to continue to serve. It's not quite active duty, but I think the Guard is still evolving and still growing and getting more back to those fields of being active duty. So in the latest gig here, I spent my entire career in the support community. So I grew up in services, mission support for 27 years until about a month ago when the boss hired me on as his command chief. So really honored to be in this position, honored for the opportunity and excited for what's to come for the wing.
Yeah. So both of you came off active duty. How did you learn about the Guard before coming into the Guard?
So that's easy for me. I actually met my wife in basic military training, which is a funny story all in and of itself. She actually was in the Guard. So from day one, had a small fling. It's not even a fling in tech school, and hadn't talked for 8 years. Fast forward to 7-level school, 8 years later at Lackland Air Force Base, we ran into each other again, and she had been Guard her entire career. I hadn't seen her or talked to her from the time that we had met in basic training, and things weren't going that well for me on active duty. It was time for a change, so I was aware of the Guard. But for me, being on active duty, an instructor that I was down at Tyndall, you always had those Guard classes, and they were the laziest bunch of folks, the most sloppiest bunch of folks that came down to our training class. So we always made fun of the Guard and the Reserve. Like, I would never join the Guard or Reserve. What are these folks doing? This is not the real Air Force, the real military. And then, as luck would have it, here I am in the Guard, and I've been in the Guard since 2008. So it's been a great opportunity for me. But that started for me. My wife was in the Guard, and that's kind of how I got my first taste of what the Guard was, and the opportunity presented itself afterwards.
Yeah, so, I had very low awareness of the Guard. I was chasing a job. And so when I found WADS and it was a full-time position, I'm like, that sounds good to me. I'll learn about the Guard later on. And I, no kidding, did. I came out to Washington, brought my wife out, moved our entire house out here, chasing a job. And then I learned about the Air National Guard as I went. And you can imagine WADS is actually a pretty atypical Guard unit, manned mostly by, full-time people at over 80%. So it wasn't even a total immersion into the Guard. So I would say I'm probably still learning about the Guard here at my 24th year in the Air Force, as I learn about different nuances between statuses and things like that. So, yeah, definitely still learning about the Air National Guard.
Yeah. So in kind of learning, and one of the reasons I have you here today is to talk about the 194th Wing. And for those that don't know, the 194th is an extremely unique wing. It does not have a flying mission. You guys are strictly more of a ground, special forces, cyber, those kind of things. Talk about the different units you guys have underneath the 194th.
You bet. You want to kick us off, Chief?
I can kick us off. So you're right. We have no flying mission. So for a long time, there was an identity crisis for the 194th. Looking back in 2011, 12-ish, we actually almost lost the wing. We almost got absorbed under the active duty on McCord because of just that fact. We had no flying mission at all. So what really were we? I think General Dravis, at the time Colonel Dravis, the wing commander, kind of set his focus on the cyber realm, the future of the wing, and moving from a cyber or a combat communications type group and mission to the new cyber set that you're seeing today. And it's kind of furthered itself with the future commanders of General Borchers and then General Landon and Borchers. Sorry.
We're the youngest wing in the Air National Guard. There's 90 of us, plus two sectors, Eastern Air Defense Sector and Western Air Defense Sector. So we, in 2006, were established. So definitely the youngest. And the fact that we used to be called the Regional Support Wing when we were first established. And it's like, what is that? What is the Regional Support Wing? And exactly what support are we providing? So there was a push to change the name to a little more agnostic name of the 194th Wing. And that happened around 2015. And now we're kind of in a third push. We've got these stovepipes of excellence, which are Air Force Special Warfare with our TACP units, And we also have cyber ops, which Chief was just talking about, and an intel portion of our mission, both cyber intel and targeting, federated targeting intel. So we've got these three stovepipes of excellence that we've done really well since our inception, but we haven't integrated those capabilities because there hasn't been a need. But I would say the future fight, there's going to be a need to take all three of those capabilities and integrate them together and synchronize effects where our Air Force special warfare operators are out at the battle's edge, shoulder to shoulder with cyber operators, intelligence officers and airmen, and maybe some other capabilities that we haven't brought into the wing just yet. So that's the big push right now is integrating our capabilities.
Yeah, well, you guys have a kind of a shorter history. No lack of missions that you guys are doing. What are some of those key missions that the 194th Wing and the units underneath it have been able to perform over the last few years?
So here at home, right now we're in the middle of a mission, which we've gotten a lot of publicity for here in Washington State, but our cyber operators are helping the Secretary of State with election security. And we've been doing this for about 4 years now. So it is Guardsmen and Washington State Guard working hand in hand with the Secretary of State's office to bolster election security for the state of Washington. So they just mobilized a few weeks ago, getting ready for the November election. So that's something we're doing right here at home.
I guess on top of that, the IS squadron, I don't know how much that we can speak to on camera. A lot of their stuff is obviously of the secret nature. Those folks are activated on a consistent basis over there, right here at home as well, but helping our folks. And
yeah, being an intel professional myself, totally understand that one. So
I'm not quite sure how much that I can share.
No, I think you're good on that, Chief. Okay.
Yeah. Right now we've got about 36 members deployed overseas in the most recent deployment rotation. They span all of our career fields. A lot of mission support group went over to augment different bases that are over there in the CENTCOM, AO, and also AFRICOM as well. And then our TACPs, our Air Force Special Warfare Operators, they are gone all the time, year round. We at least have, you know, four or five members over overseas, also in Poland, supporting the mission that's going on over there. So our air support operations group, which is what those Air Force Special Warfare Operators fall underneath, they have a pretty high operations tempo. The cyber operators, they are just about ready to get mobilized to do a defensive cyber mission for U.S. Cybercom. Most recently, the Cyber Operations Group commander got an agreement that our mobilizations would mainly support U.S. Indo-PACOM efforts and hardening cyber defenses over in that area of operations. So we're going to do that shift here this next year as one of our cyber operations squadrons mobilizes.
Yeah. So being an Intel IO PA guy, on the Army side in the 56IO, I always kind of look at those two units as it's very similar, right? You've got a cyber special operations intel mission over the 194th. It's very similar in the 56 TIOG. There's always opportunities aplenty. What are those opportunities for airmen and potential airmen that are interested in joining one of the units in the wing?
There's always opportunities for to steal some Army folks over to the National Guard. I think we're always plugging the Air Force. So I think we've inherited quite the group of folks here in the last few years of folks that want a better taste of quality of life in the military and jumped over to the blue side. So I think there's always opportunities there. And as you mentioned, if you already have that experience from the cyber and intel backgrounds on the Army side, easily correlates over to the Air Force side. So bring them on.
Yeah, I've got a lot of vacancies right now. I think we are shooting for 96% manned here this fiscal year. We're right at about 94% manned. And eventually we're going to get to General Welsh's goal of 105% manned with the waiting list of airmen wanting to come into the Air National Guard. So in every single one of my groups, we've got vacancies, and then we can, even if we don't have a vacancy, we can bring an airman on, and you guys know how it works, and we can double billet certain vacancies. So that's that is the goal, is to really stack ourselves. We met all our recruiting goals this year in the Washington Air National Guard. We kind of blew them out of the water. I think our recruiting team hit 155% of their goal. And our goals are even higher this coming year. So we will get to that 105% recruited in the Washington Air National Guard. So intel analysts, cyber operators, there are also huge bonuses right now being offered at the national level. Yeah. For a drill status, what we call drill status guardsmen, I think Army on the Army side, M-Day. Mm-hmm. For one of those airmen to come in, it could be up to $90,000 to sign for a 6-year commitment. So that's pretty huge.
Yeah, and I think I saw you guys had a weather specialist or a meteorologist come into the unit who already had the background, the experience, had served in activity, got a $90,000 bonus. That's unheard of.
Yeah,
truly, that's amazing. But you already brought that expertise.
The training that those weather officers and weather airmen have to go through is unbelievable. So we have trouble recruiting to what is the 116th weather flight for combat weather to support Air Force Special Warfare and also Army Army units. So I'm not surprised that there's a $90,000 bonus to bring one of those airmen on. They are hard to get for sure.
Yeah. We had your recruiting team for the 194th come in a few, I think, months back and kind of shared their story about being the best recruiting unit in the nation. So, I mean, that's an applaud to them. But really, it shows the leadership, you know, gives them the opportunity to get out there and really pound the ground as a recruiter. So it kind of speaks to the whole unit. So, and I think that starts at the top. So anything else you guys want to add?
I want to talk about our priorities for a minute. If we could. So last year when I came, to the unit and took command, I sat down with the team, and we came up with three priorities for the wing. One of them was to evolve the combat capability of the wing, which I already spoke about a little bit, which is, integrating all the capabilities within the wing to achieve a greater effect than each individual effect. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process of doing that. The other one is to develop mission-ready airmen. So that happens through resiliency and training and many other avenues that we have to create the best possible mission-ready airmen in order to accomplish the mission. And then the third priority, which I'm really excited about because we're seeing some incredible things and we can tell some stories about that, but is to empower our airmen.
Yeah. And so speaking of empowering, you guys also are big on initiative, innovation. Briefly, if you want to highlight innovation, what you guys are doing, because I know you guys have an innovation team. Now it's up at the headquarters level. You guys have really brought in a lot of partners, too, to look at how do you make it better? How do you make this whole being in service better?
You can take that one, sir.
Sure. Yeah, so we've been working hand in hand with the innovation team up at the wing. Lieutenant Colonel Ayers and Chris Pavel before he retired. What great innovators themselves. You know, their brains are working at a different level. We're fortunate to have Master Sergeant Stone in the ASOG, who is also, he works in industry, and he is a driving force and catalyst for a lot of innovation efforts, both in the ASOG, but happening at a national level. He is working on some innovation projects that will affect Air Force Special Warfare operators all over the country. And then we've got people have ideas and they push them to the innovation team. And it's things like in the mission support group, in the FSS, are you able to talk about the innovation project in there with Power BI?
That Don Smith is doing the Power BI?
Yep. Yeah.
So Master Sergeant Don Smith has done a great job at he's an Amazon guy who's brought his very, very, very tech savvy. And we've had this conundrum for the last probably forever in the National Guard trying to track our locally positioned and our local moves, drug just, if you will. And it's very hard to do. So it's been one person tracking that on paper for the last probably 15, 20 years. Don Smith, through his innovation experience, has found a way to make that more of an automated Power BI product now that every commander and chief and SEL has at their fingertips to manage their force. So some great progress there from the support group and Don Smith.
Yeah. Innovation can be, I think, intimidating for airmen because they think they have to be part of this ecosystem or know the lingo or things like that. So what Chief and I try to do is underneath the banner of empowering our airmen, that third priority, is bring ideas up and really take airmen's ideas and put them into action. And one of the ways we do that is through what we call the White Paper Initiative. And it essentially is, I just want to hear an airman's idea. And it doesn't need to be a really fancy PowerPoint presentation or a Power BI, even though that is really cool stuff Don's doing. It doesn't need to be that technically savvy. I need the idea, whether it's an email or just a white paper, as we call it in the Air Force, which is just a background and an explanation of what we're trying to do. And that airman, no matter where they are in the organization, has my permission and Chief's permission to send it directly to us with a couple rules. One of the rules is that they copy their chain of command on that email. So their chain of command isn't completely left out of the loop. And then what we do is we look at that idea and figure out how we, well, first we start with yes. We figure out how we can implement it. And unfortunately, if we can't get to yes for whatever reason, I go direct to that airman and I say, awesome idea. Unfortunately, we can't get it done, and here's why. Or, awesome idea, we're going to tweak it just a little bit and then implement it in the wing with these tweaks that we've done to it. We've had some pretty incredible success with this program.
And to the boss's credit, I've not seen one white paper submitted yet that he hasn't responded to the airman directly himself or acted on. I think everyone that's been submitted so far has been acted on and initiated for future iterations. So hats off to you for that, but it's been a great process.
Yeah, so this is one of those questions, and you probably aren't the right audience to ask this question. Being a non-flying wing, do you see more non-flying wings in the future and that are more structured like the 194th is currently?
I don't, personally. No. I think it's been put on the map as not the best way forward, but I think we definitely made it work. I don't know how many non-flying wings there are in the country, though. Maybe one or two. So
there's a handful.
Yeah.
A lot of Intel. There's Intel wings. They're standing up a cyber wing out in Ohio. I would say you're right, Chief. I don't think slapping capabilities together and then saying, hey, you're a wing, that ain't the way to do it.
Right.
Because we've seen the problems with that. I think what's really cool is that the 194th could be a blueprint for what a non-flying wing looks like going forward.
Yeah.
We've got to make a few changes. But if all of the capabilities and missions within a wing relate to one another somehow, and even if like seemingly on the surface they don't relate, but there is a way that maybe you can take a cyber effect at the exact same time an Air Force special warfare operator needs to do X, and all of a sudden the enemy is extremely confused and disoriented, then there's that relationship. So I think we can definitely be the model for what a non-flying wing looks like. But yeah, to Chief's point, it's not a good recipe just to have this body pool called a wing with disparate missions in the wing. It makes unity of command and effort kind of tough.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I like your kind of thought, if you can take these two effects and they can coexist on the mission, I mean, that is a blueprint, I think, moving forward. So I appreciate your time coming out. Anything else you want to add before we close? Or?
No, sir.
No, I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
Sir, anything?
Yeah, I'm excited about the future of the 194th Wing. You know, I've been privileged to get to see these airmen work. And I don't think I've encountered a more incredible group of professionals. So just my hat's off to the entire Team Phoenix. They're doing some great things, and I think you're going to be Super impressed by what comes out of the 194th Wing over the next few years.
Nice. Well, I appreciate the time, gentlemen, for coming on. And if you're interested in joining the 194th Wing, we can definitely put the recruiting team's information in the notes. They're extremely hardworking, and we'll make sure that we continue to feed them those bodies to help kind of get to 105%, 106% strength. If you got any questions, leave us a comment and subscribe for future videos. Thanks, Chief, for coming on.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. If anybody wants to join the wing, they can call me and Chief direct. There, like, just give us a call. We'll hook you up.
Absolutely.